Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Brother Joe Powell, who is the leader of our Celebrate Recovery program, will be bringing the message this morning. So, Brother Joe, if you would.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you, Brother. Good morning. I'm really thankful to be here this morning, have an opportunity to fill in for our pastor, have big shoes to fill. The good news is God knows our shoe sizes. It's up to him to fill the shoes, isn't it? We're thankful to be here, and we would like to call your attention this morning as we continue our worship service, and we pray that while it will remain, to Luke chapter 15. And I understand this is about the most widely preached passage of Scripture. Certainly among evangelicals it is. And we want to look at this morning from an overall view, the whole chapter. When we start to study the New Testament, they usually ask us to take a New Testament survey course, familiarize ourselves with the total picture, and then after having done that, then we begin to study individual books and groups of books and things like that. That's kind of the idea. I thought we might review maybe the overall picture of Luke 15. It's such a beautiful chapter that has so many spiritual lessons to be learned from it. Some of the most moving sermons I've ever heard preached were from this chapter. And there are so many symbols and words that have Old Testament meaning and New Testament meaning and things like this, that as we begin to familiarize ourselves with it, we see the kind of overall picture. By the way, tonight, I would like to talk about the formula for being a good church member. The biblical formula for being a good church member. I don't think that's the name I put on it, but that's about what it amounts to. And there's some scripture I want to share with you, if I may. So I hope you'll come tonight. The underlying theme of Luke 15, as I understand it, though there are many, many things to learn and to understand about this passage, the underlying theme, as I see it, is our Father's faithfulness. The faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. Now, as we begin in the very first verse, we see that Jesus is speaking publicly, and that he has an audience that is mixed in terms of their support. Some are supportive, some are not. And the first three verses says, or two verses, says the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." This was a disgrace to them, and this felt this was devaluating the office of rabbi and the scriptures and everything. These were strict religionists. They kept the law. And though we often refer to them negatively, they were strict law keepers. We have to give them that. Not all of them were hard-headed and obstinate, but some were. And so some of those this morning, as Jesus was speaking, had some critical statements to make for him. They saw the people Jesus was reaching out to as being misfits. And was Jesus a minister to the misfits? That's one of the questions that will be worth looking at apart from this message this morning. But they criticized him because they just didn't like the clientele that he had associated with. The accusation was simply that he associated with undesirable people. And so was he, after all, a minister to the misfits? Was he a pastor to the passed over, or a friend to the friendless, a helper of the helpless, healer of the hurting, and a shepherd of the shepherdless? All of those things, I would say, but they didn't quite see it in that context. And so they were critical. So Jesus uses the rest of this chapter to answer their criticisms. And this is what it's all about. He does it in three parables. Now, I understand that the word parable is similar to the word parallel, and it means to lay alongside. And another way to say it is a physical lesson of a spiritual truth. And one of the characteristics of a parable is that the lesson is given, then it's explained. And if you're an English teacher this morning, you may want to say that a parable is an extended simile or something like that, whatever that may mean. Three parables, and I see in here four spiritual principles that he was trying to show the folks who criticized him. And so we begin with the parable of the lost sheep. And here we see, number one, that the Father reclaims the lost ones. The Father reclaims the lost ones. Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes back home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Interesting story. The sheep leaves the flock like the human leaves his refuge of innocence. And the shepherd goes after him. And what does that teach us? That God is faithful to one as he is to the whole flock. Some people would say, well, isn't the flock worth more than one straggling sheep? But to the Father, the straggler has value. And this would apply not only to the whole flock, I think, but maybe to the nation of Israel. Maybe there was a message there. It isn't the sheep's sin, by the way, or his straying, or the sinner's sin, if you want to bring it across, that causes a rejoicing. It's his repentance. I think when the shepherd found the sheep, and he maybe was he in a box canyon or something, and he began to realize what a desperate situation was in, and he looks and sees the shepherd, and oh, is he glad to see him. And so he doesn't run and say, no way, I'll jump off a cliff before I go back. He realizes the foolhardiness of what he has done, foolhardiness, and so he returns with the shepherd. And it wasn't the Pharisees' righteousness that excluded them. It was their attitude. Their attitude. The lost keep on running, but the shepherd keeps on pursuing. The more you run, the more he pursues. shows us the value of a single soul in this parable, the one sheep. It's fortunate for us that God is faithful. It's fortunate for us that He is the faithful one. Spiritual lesson, spiritual principle. You may be in unsafe territory, but you need not be, because your Father is faithful. The shepherd is searching. And then the second parable has to do with the lost coin. Here we see that the Father reveals the lost ones. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. Good lesson. Good lesson. The Father reveals the lost ones. The sheep was lost in the wilderness, and the coin was lost right at home. Right at home. Fell between the cracks. So she illuminates and sweeps the area, if you will, looking for those, for that one, as it were, that fell through the cracks. Attention is focused on the crisis. Now, she had 9 other coins. And I understand that this was sort of dowry that the married women wore on their heads, a very, very, very sacred thing to them. It had to do with their family and motherhood and things like that. Great urgency. She said, "I've got to have it. I can't go around with one missing. It's incomplete. It's incomplete." Great urgency to find the one that's lost. Here again we see the value of a single soul. The sheep, now the coin, representing the soul. By the way, God's represented here as a woman. Okay? All you chauvinists, gotta look at that. God likes women too. Of course we know that. All right, preacher, go on. The dowry would be incomplete without the one. What she had, her possession, was most meaningful and valuable in toto, the total part. Be incomplete without the missing piece. Spiritual principle. You may be estranged and lost in the crowd, but you need not be. Your Father is faithful. And so the parable of the Son, where we say the Father not only reclaims the lost ones and reveals the lost ones, but here He restores the lost ones. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 coins. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off on a distant journey, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." This is why we call him the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful. "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The prodigal son was home. Reason for celebration. The father restores the lost ones, those who have gone away to the far lands, those who have wasted all of their being, those who've lost their identity, those who suffer disappointment in life and have let the disappointment be the ruler of their life, those who suffer humiliation and disgrace. And here we see, with all of these things being true in this one poor fellow, when he returns to his father, the father runs to meet him. The value of a single soul cannot be overemphasized. Those who seriously wish to return to their father's house will be met by the anxious father. Their father's house. How many have strayed from their father's house? How many in our society have strayed from the father's house? But when they return, they are restored. What's the spiritual principle that I get from this? You may be wallowing in the pig pens, but you need not be. You need not be. Our Father is faithful to restore you. So there are three parables and three principles that I offer to you this morning. The Father reclaims the lost ones. He reveals the lost ones. He restores the lost ones. And now in the same parable, there is another principle. And let's take a look at that. This one I call the Father Reasons with the Loved Ones. He not only claims and reveals and restores the lost ones, but he reasons with the loved ones. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Two different attitudes. the attitude of the brother or the attitude of the father. The attitude of the brother was punitive. The attitude of the father was faithful. Faithful in love. So the father reasons with his loved ones who are guarding the household, who are doing the daily chores and the daily work and the things that have to be done. They tell me that in the ancient world, where there were two sons, the eldest son was to receive 2/3 of the estate and the younger son 1/3. Well, there's a lot to be said, and I've heard some interesting sermons preached from this. One of the things that I thought about was, after this fellow took his third, it kind of depleted the capital, wouldn't you say? One of our chief deacons was telling me, and we have about 15 of the chief deacons, but one of them was telling me today he kind of sympathized with this fellow. And humanly speaking, I think so. I think we would, humanly speaking. He had a good point. I've been here working, faithful, all this time, every day, day in, day out. He might have said, who do you think built those those barns? And here we celebrate this fellow coming by. But the Father implores us to enter into the celebration and not join the Pharisees in the criticism. He comforts us with his presence. He said, I've been here with you all the while. Can you imagine the misery this fellow's been through? Can you imagine how it is to wake up in the pig pens for a Jew to be working on feeding pigs? Can you imagine how terrible it is to wake up with these awful physical reactions to the former day's behavior? Can you imagine what pain he's gone through? And here you've been with me fat and sassy all the while, eating 3 squares. You've had my presence to comfort you. Your inheritance hasn't been diminished by that fellow's misdeeds and bad decisions. Your inheritance remains just as full as it was the day before he left. And he pleads with his logic. I've always wondered if he wasn't using orthodoxy as an excuse for coldness. Was he being a little legalistic? Was he using that to hide his selfishness, his jealousies, and these things that detract from his character? It could happen, couldn't it? But the father said to him, this is your brother. Hey, this is your brother. Again, the value of a single soul. The lost has returned to his father. This should make you rejoice. It should make us sing when we see others singing. When someone's forgiven, instead of saying, well, it's about time, we would say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. God is faithful. And the spiritual principle here would be something like, you may be bristling with scorn and anger and resentment, but you need not be. And to the other family member, he may say, well, you may be bursting with sadness and sorrow for yourself, but you need not be. You may be basking in self-satisfaction, knowing how you've kept the law and have lived up to all my expectations, and therefore lost in your stature through your selfishness and self-centeredness. But you need not be, because the Father is faithful. The Father is faithful. He's there for us. So in summation, the central figure is not the sheep. The central figure is not the coin. The central figure is not even the Son. But the central figure is the Father. It's the Father. The solutions to these problems didn't happen because of the sheep, the coin, or the Son. It was the Father's faithfulness. Or the brother, may I say, may I add. But it was the Father's faithfulness that brought them all to fruition. Now, although this world and man may fail us, our Father is eternally faithful. This is the theme. This is the theme. The psalmist said, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart." The prophet Jeremiah said in his Lamentations, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Oh, great is your faithfulness." Let's pray. Father, as we worship you this morning in prayer now, we ask, Lord, that you will write upon our hearts the great depth and the weight and the meaning of your faithfulness, that we may understand, Lord, that all of these things don't depend upon us. They depend on you and how we refer to you for solving those problems, that your faithfulness is ever with us, that you find the wandering sheep, you discover the lost coin, you restore the lost son, and you strengthen the lost, or the strengthen the loved brother. Lord, make these things clear in our hearts. Let us understand this. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Pastor, do you want to come forward? You'd rather the deacons and I? Okay. Brother Dave. Want to give you an invitation. We believe in giving invitations. What's it for? If you'll stand, please. We invite you to let God move on your heart this morning. Maybe he said something to you. Maybe he said, well, move on it. Maybe he's been talking to you. A young woman told me this week that the Lord had been talking to her for a year and 3 months. Well, it's maybe time to move. Maybe time to do something.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.